Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good to be joined right now by our good friend who's brought to you by hornsolutions.net each and every week. And each and every week, Friday at this time on our show, the General John McClain. What's up, John?
It's great to be on with you, Sean, and Mr. Irreplaceable. They're not going to replace you at night.
It seems that we are going to have a... How did the boss man phrase it? We're going to have specialty programming, and I think the first week we're going to 11. I think we're going to be going, definitely having local programming from here on out. But yes, the Galan & Knight radio program's final run was last night.
You've been brought out of the dark and into the light.
I'm excited.
Are you?
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
What time do you usually go to bed?
What time I usually go to bed? I would say about 1, 2 o'clock.
I do that. I've done it my whole life since I started in the newspaper business in 73 while I was going to college. And I, no matter when I'm getting up, I still go to bed late. I can't help it. When I go on with Seth and Mike and now you on Wednesdays, I'll stay up to 1 or 2 and then get up at 6:15. And then, of course, I have to take naps. When I was young,
yes,
I didn't have to. But I'll be on with you guys Wednesday. I'll be on with the new guys with Lopez, Fred, and Landry on Tuesday. And so I had a lot of fun this week with Derek Fogle and Josh Beard. And I had done Josh's podcast a couple times. And we talked mostly about movies and Game of Thrones. And I told Ryan McCready, the boss, I said, I had such a good time with these guys. If you ever pair them again, let me know. I'd love to be their guest. We had a blast.
No, they're great. I love Josh. Josh is like a brother to me. I got to see Josh's ring dunk ceremony. He just officially graduated from Texas A&M, became a part of the cult. He would say not a cult in that spot right there if he was here right now. And Fogle's an up-and-comer, and his baseball stuff, man, he's on top of it. I'm baseball dumb, and he makes me feel a lot more smart when I'm talking with him. Like,
yeah.
So is this guy good? Is this guy good? What's going on here?
Yeah.
I'd also like to say good luck to Cody Stutes. I've been doing the show with Cody and John for years. Cody's a really talented young talk show host, and I know he'll land on his feet. The best of luck to him. A great guy, proud Red Raider, and always love his mama's cooking.
Yeah,
mama's stew.
That will be missed, yeah.
Good luck to Cody.
Yep, absolutely. Couldn't agree more on that. John, how many different permutations of shows have you done shows with at 610, would you estimate?
Well, let's see. When I went back officially, I was on KTRH for 17 years.
Yeah.
But I started going on in 76 with Jerry Trupiano when we were gallivanting around Canada with the original Arrows.
Yep.
And he needed people as guests. So I told him early on, I don't know anything about hockey. Don't ask me anything. And he said, well, how'd you get this job? I said, it's a long story. And so then he started putting me on. And then in 85, I started doing a regular show with him on KTRH. And then when the Texans, when they won the franchise and the bidding was up to see who was going to get them, Dickie Rosenfeld from Kilt, the late great, had tried to hire me a couple times, and I stayed at KTRH. And then his son Moose tried to hire me, and Rich Lord had long been over here. And so at the time, the team was trying to decide. And I went to Bob McNair, who I'd known for about a year during the process of which he was trying to get a team. And I asked him, I said, Bob, off the record, I got to make a decision here. If I wanted to be on the flagship, and I always have, because football fans are going to listen to the flagship.
Yep.
And so I told him, I said, would you recommend to me that I stay at KTRH, or should I go to Kilt, K-I-L-T, or should I try to get on with another station? He says, well, just hypothetically, if it was me, I think I might go to Kilt.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Purely hypothetically.
So I told Moose I'm in, and so I started thinking of all the talk show hosts I've been on with through the decades. Jerry Trupiano, my first, who got me in the business. He's will always be my all-time favorite. When Jerry Glanville became the head coach in 1986, Jerry talked to Glanville about doing a show on KTRH. He said, great, I'm really fired up about it. Glanville had a great personality.
Sure.
Yeah, he'd be great on the
Glanville
air.
And Glanville goes, yeah, but there's one thing. You got to fire McClain. And he said, why? He said, because he tells lies about me and us. And he said, I won't do it unless he's fired. And Trupiano said, well, I'm not firing him.
Wow.
And he stood up to him, and he said, well, I'll go to your rival and put you guys out of business.
How'd that work out?
So he went over to KPRC with Anita Martini and Mike Edmonds, who did a terrific talk show, too. And now Glanville has just been hired as the defensive coordinator of the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the Canadian Football League.
Damn, he's been all over the place.
Under June Jones, and I'm still here.
When I was random story about Glanville, and that's hilarious. I remember when I was working at Z89 at Syracuse, and we did Syracuse women's basketball, and I was looking through the Portland State directory for where the women's basketball coach was so I could make a call. And I was like, wait a second, is that Jerry Glanville?
June Jones got him the job. That was June's alma mater. I was in Hawaii, Carol and I. We're at an NFL meeting, and I've known June. June's a good friend of mine. And we were at a restaurant there with the sports editor, Paul Arnett, from the Honolulu Advertiser. Paul's from here, and Aggie. And we're having a lot of fun, and June's doing great as the coach. And Glanville got brought up. Glanville didn't talk to June for 8 years because he thought he backstabbed him to get the head coaching
wow.
job in Atlanta. So I said, well, who would ever hire that babbling idiot. Nobody said anything. So we finished off the night. Next morning, Carol gets the paper in front of the door, and the front page goes, huh, you're going to want to read this. She hands it to me, front page 1A, Rainbow Warriors hired Glanville as general manager. And I'm like, I called June. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, I didn't want to earn your wrath at dinner. I was enjoying the food too much.
Oh, that's too funny. That is too funny. Jerry Glanville is the answer to a radio trivia question in this town. He was the first ever guest on the old Sean and John show.
Is
on
that
1560
right?
The Game.
What year was that?
2007. August 20th, 2007. The first day, our two guests were Jerry Glanville and Jacoby Jones, rookie wide receiver for the Houston Texans.
What a twosome. You know, Jerry was a great coach who was just made for talk shows.
Yeah.
The social media, if there had been social media back then, his last year here was 1989, and he was a good coach, but he let his ego get in the way. It's the only coach I've ever twice was threatening to punch me out. But I loved covering him. He was so much fun, and we had great times talking about him on the talk shows.
Yeah.
And I'm glad June keeps hiring him because June likes him, and he's a good defensive coach.
He was supposed to be the coach. My dad got to know him a little bit up in Hartford because he was supposed to be the coach of the UFL Hartford Colonials, which never took the field. That was that league where there were like four teams and they never took the field. So I would hate to think my dad would be forced to choose a side in the John McClain versus Jerry Glanville war because he loves both of you.
By the way, I have a thing that I wrote today. It's on Texas Sports Nation, TXSN.com, or you can go on my Twitter. I've tweeted it a couple of times, a story about Johnny Manziel
and
June Jones and how June pursued Johnny from 2008 when he was in his first year at SMU, and Johnny was a sophomore in Kerrville who had switched from wide receiver to quarterback, and somebody told June about him, and June told the media up there this week, I was the first person to offer him a scholarship. Yeah. Obviously, he didn't go, so June has wanted him. These negotiations went on for 4.5 months. The general manager who reached out and hired June from Hawaii last year to help the offense, and then they promoted him to head coach. June hired Art Briles for a few hours as the offensive coordinator, and pressure got him to rescind the offer. June was hired by a guy named Eric Tillman. The Hamilton Tiger catcher is 6th CFL team as GM. He's won 3 CFL championships, the Grey Cup. He also was the executive director of the Senior Bowl for 11 years, and he started off in this business as a PR assistant for the Oilers in 1981.
Wow.
So you got June Jones, Eric Tillman, Jerry Glanville, and Johnny Manziel. I don't know if Canada's big enough for Manziel and Glanville.
That's unbelievable.
At least Ontario.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, We'll get to the Rockets and the Texans in the next segment, John. As long as we're talking about Manziel, I had him down on the list of things to talk about with you. I think everybody's, you know, who follows Johnny Manziel is definitely intrigued by this. I don't know if excited is the right word, but it's certainly intriguing. Do we even know if he's going to win the starting job?
Yeah, I think he made a mistake waiting as long as he did.
Jeremiah Mazzoli, who's been there 5 years, June Jones believes in second chances. When he had Colt Brennan in Hawaii and they went to the Sugar Bowl, Colt had been in trouble. And Mazzoli was kicked out of Oregon after 2 years, went to Ole Miss, signed his undrafted free agent with the 49ers, got cut, and went to Canada. And so last year he threw for 3,100 yards, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and he's the starter. There's 5 quarterbacks in their camp right now. And June said last week that he would have to really be good to beat out Mazzoli. And he said yesterday or the day before, I think Johnny will probably be the backup this year. And I think that's probably said for Manziel to just – make him more competitive.
Yeah.
Because Johnny's got a lot to learn. Different field. He hadn't thrown a pass since 2015, unless you count the 2 games in the spring league. But I hope he turns around his life and his career. You know, he got married. He hadn't been in any trouble. He hadn't had controversy. He told the media, I'll never be able to run from my past.
Yeah.
He said, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about my problems. There was a woman reporter said, Johnny, you have a domestic issue in 2016. Should people in Hamilton be worried? And he answered her as well as he possibly could. And
well, that's so interesting. That's it's a fair question, but it smacks of somebody in the media who maybe had not had read the whole thing, or I don't know.
Well, I'm pulling for him, June. June plays a combination now, the run and shoot in the West Coast system. He likes a mobile quarterback who can smart enough to make adjustments, who can move. That's all Johnny Manziel, if he will devote himself. But right now, his head's spinning just trying to learn the game.
Yeah.
I look at him, and I wonder if this Barstool venture that he's doing could be a distraction of sorts. It seems like it's something that he wants to do to just get his return out there, what he's going through and all that. And I do think being in Canada is going to be big for him. But I do wonder if he's actually going to make the comeback. Should he be trying to keep a low profile? Should he be trying to keep away from being in the eyes of everybody all the time?
Well, he has to do his interviews. They have a little stage set up with a logo like everybody else. And then he's working 24/7. They asked him what he was going to do. Of course, he said, my car's being shipped up. I got my golf clubs, and this is beautiful country. He plans to play a lot of golf. He didn't say if his wife would be there. She'd stay in L.A. But Hamilton, which is in it's on Lake Ontario. It's in eastern Canada. The top rival is Toronto, 38 miles away. It's real close to Buffalo, too. And Toronto, Winnipeg, the Blue Bombers, number 2. And ESPN's going to carry all the CFL games on ESPN2 and ESPN News. But if they carry them, they're going to see a lot of Jeremiah Mazzoli unless he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Because he was pretty good. I know June likes him a lot. He told me that last year. So Johnny's going to have to be really good. I'm guessing we would see more of him over the second half than we would the first half.
All right, John McClain is with us. We're live at Little Woodrow's in Rice Village on Morningside. Stop by and say hello. When you come out here, find our promo folks. You can sign up to win a trip to Las Vegas to see Barry Manilow. It's a pretty cool prize. 2 nights, hotel, airfare, the whole thing. Really good stuff. So find them, sign up, put your name in the hopper, and who knows, you may be on your way to Las Vegas. Coming up next, let's see if we can come up with a football analogy from John McClain for what the Rockets are facing here with Chris Paul. What are some other Houston sports events that that John may have covered or seen in his years that compare to what the Rockets are looking at here without one of their 2 best players? We'll do that next. And also, we need to talk about who was sitting courtside at the game last night. We haven't even mentioned that yet. We'll do that next. You're listening to the Triple Threat. So, John, the Rockets, is there any, as someone who's covered the Houston sports scene for a very long time, is there any similar situation you can think of in Houston sports, looking back, not just basketball, but football, where losing a guy like Chris Paul, but you just got to...
How about you lose 3? Your 3 best offensive players. 1979, divisional playoffs. Oilers, 20-point underdogs at San Diego. Eric Coryell, they lose quarterback Dan Pastorini, running back Earl Campbell, and wide receiver Kenny Burrow, their top 3 players.
Damn.
Nobody gave them a chance. Gifford Milkshake Breath Nielsen was the quarterback. Rob Carpenter, the running back, was so badly injured. They shot up Rob. He didn't know what country he was in, but he played.
Yeah.
And one memorable play when he got hit, he crawled back to the huddle because he couldn't walk.
Wow.
And they upset them when Vernon Perry, who will be roasting Robert Brazil, intercepted what is still a playoff record, 4 passes of Dan Fouts. They learned that Dan Fouts' feet, if Dan Fouts turned his left his foot toe out, Greg Bingham, the inside linebacker, would yell out Air Force, meaning it's going to be a pass. If his foot was straight, he would yell Army, which would be a run. Now, they didn't know where the pass or run would go, but that makes a heck of a difference.
That makes a big difference.
Especially if you're a defensive back,
And that put them in the AFC Championship game at Pittsburgh. To me, it's still the greatest playoff victory in this city's history.
Milkshake breath. Where's that come from?
Carl Malk, the center, who was the center for Pastorini and Stabler.
Yep.
And it's safe to say in the huddle after nights out, Dan and Stabler didn't have milkshake breath. And when Gifford one time, they asked if Stabler was going to be able to come back to practice, and they said, yes, he will. And he said, good, because I'm tired of smelling Gifford's milkshake breath in the huddle.
John, what do you think of these last two games from the Rockets?
I thought they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
When they came back down 12 in the fourth quarter at Oracle, I thought they had no prayer. To pull it out, especially with Harden not scoring, was amazing. And this one, I thought they would win. But at the end, when Paul went out and you saw everybody going crazy trying to pull it out, and he was like a zombie on the bench.
Yeah.
Because he knew he was hurt bad because he's had hamstring injuries. I felt so bad for him. But because of, like, the 79 Oilers, the Rams, when they lost Trent Green and the season was over, and Kurt Warner, this nobody backup, stepped up, there are so many instances in sports history. Willis Reed limping around for the Knicks and winning an NBA championship. There's so many instances where teams have rallied behind a player who was injured and out that it won't surprise me at all. Not this game, but they win it in 7. I'm not worried about Gordon stepping up. I'm worried about who's going to replace Gordon coming off the bench.
Yeah. This is a tough one because you mentioned all that, John, and everything that we've seen, though, from James Harden in this series since game one would lead us to believe that we're going to see a guy who just looks gassed in the second half of the game. And I think you look at the rest of the team, you're right. I mean, we're at a point now where you're talking about a 6-man rotation. This isn't a Jim Boeheim coach college team. This is Mike D'Antoni in the playoffs against a team that maybe doesn't have a ton of talented depth on the bench, but they have guys that they're actually confident playing on the bench. And right now the Rockets have just one guy left. That's Gerald Green.
Okay, if y'all had to pick one guy besides Green who's going to be placed in the rotation, who do you think it'll be?
It has to be Bamute. It has to be Bamute.
What percentage is he healthy?
I don't know. That's the question. I would say definitely from a confidence perspective, he is low right now.
If you could pick one of the guys not named Gerald Green to come in and give you 20 minutes of what is a normal game
for
them.
More than people expect.
Yeah, or just what's a normal, because I think all these guys are underachieving right now. Ryan Anderson and Bamute, Nene, Joe Johnson. Like, if you could pick one of those guys that I just named to give you 20 minutes of what would be just an average game for them, who would it be?
Well, Bamute, if he was healthy.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Is Johnson, he's got the most experience. Is he too old?
I think he is.
He hadn't had a three since the second week of April.
Yeah.
He's been playing it since 2001. I mean, you know, that was his rookie season, I remember, with the Boston Celtics. Yeah. He's been playing forever. So I don't think you can put him out there. That's the unfortunate part here. It really is Bamute going to do anything the rest of the series?
Well, even if he's 80%, he can get in people's way.
Yeah.
Remember when he couldn't dunk because he couldn't get up? And so if he could just get on the court, run around, get in the way, play a little defense, that would be tremendous. Somebody is going to be a hero.
Yeah.
And it might be he scores 7 or 8 points, but he's going to be a hero. The key, and I've been listening to all the national shows because I'm curious on their take, James Harden has to take over like LeBron's taking over.
He does.
He can't have these stretches like he's had. He's got to step up and be the James Harden he was in regular season.
It's really hurting that Ryan Anderson has become just a total zero.
Wow.
Like, it'd be one thing if, like, we all know, like, he's never going to be worth what they're paying him. Like, he'll never be a $20 million guy. But he's a zero right now.
Exactly.
He's like Steve Novak was. He's stapled to the bench.
D'Antoni has no confidence anymore.
Zero. Ryan Anderson doesn't have any confidence in himself.
And you take a look at the Eastern Conference Finals where Tristan Thompson has played really well in this series. And Tristan Thompson's also extremely overpaid. But he's at least on the court. And
he
he's giving
role.
You solid minutes. He's playing good defense.
Yeah.
Ryan Anderson can't give you defense. And it looks like he's completely unconfident in himself when he's out there.
Yep.
I remember this one sequence where he had the ball passed to him. And reminded me of me if I'm having a bad night shooting when playing a game of pickup at the Y. Just pass
it right
back to the guys. Like, yeah, I'll set a pick for you. I'm not going to shoot this thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys believe the Warriors are not the Warriors? It's them, or is it the Rockets' defense?
I
think it's a little of both, but I think the Rockets' defense deserves a ton of credit.
Yes.
I think Jeff Pizdelic deserves a ton of credit. He's the assistant coach that draws up all the defense. He's like the defensive coordinator for Mike D'Antoni. I don't think he's getting enough credit. I think it's a lot of stuff the Rockets are doing. I think some of it is just mental with the Rockets. They've got all of a sudden have this bulldog mentality that they're not going to be denied. They're trapping in corners. They're making things uncomfortable for the Warriors. But I do think tactically they're doing some things to affect them as well, and especially Kevin Durant in the second half of that game last night when they were picking the right moments to send a second guy at Kevin Durant, I thought was genius.
And I don't think they've ever dealt with a moment like this as currently constructed, and they crashed and burned in it. I mean, just focused on the Draymond Green flub at the very end of things. That is not something you'd expect out of this team. I don't know if he was distracted or affected or whatever, but that was a pretty clean pass that he had thrown to him and it bounced off his hands. I think that they are right now just bewildered that this is actually turning into a competitive series. Maybe it's like Apollo Creed round like 7 or 8 where he's like, what the hell? Like, this isn't over
yet.
They
don't think it's an exhibition. They think it's a damn fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the last game, if Curry caught the ball and spun and shot and sent it to overtime and they lost, my God, the criticism for making that free throw would have been through the roof.
Yeah.
Who's the defensive coach?
What's Jeff Bezdelic.
Bezdelic is like Strom. They're both very, very underrated, and they're both doing an incredible job.
Yep. What did you think of J.J. Seats at the game last night?
I was spending more time watching Kalia. Everybody's watching him and Justin Timberlake.
You know who else is spending time watching Kalia? J.J. He was sitting in between. If there's a short list of people on earth that could steal Kalia from J.J., Justin Timberlake might be on that list.
I saw the funniest thing that somebody put, and I wished I had thought about it. The first Captain America movie, when Chris Evans, after the war, they have him on CGI with his little skinny body with his head, and then all of a sudden he becomes the big muscled up Captain America.
Yeah.
Somebody said that's what Chris Evans pre and post.
That's what it looked
like. That's exactly what
that's funny.
Justin Timberlake and J.J. Watt look like.
Didn't look like the most comfortable situation for Timberlake, all scrunched up there with.
Who was the guy on the other side of Timberlake?
None of us know. I've asked around. I'm not sure. But if you're, I mean, you pay as much as they probably. Maybe Timberlake paid nothing for those seats. Who knows?
I guarantee he didn't pay.
Yeah. So I guess you live with it then. If JJ Watt's your neighbor in that situation, so, that was interesting last night. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.